Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 421.
This week on the podcast, extremism, according to Joe Manchin, is you voting.
Plus, as you bemoan Biden's bad week last week, the one thing that should give you solace is that this is the 52nd bad week of his term.
And note to Kamala Harris and all future vice presidents, Veep, it's a parody.
Plus, 2024 is shaping up to have the same primary as 2020.
And Eric Adams is not even good at nepotism.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right.
We're coming at you on a Tuesday night.
Here we are.
Because of the long weekend. You can't talk about politics on a long weekend celebrating a famous political figure. That would be gauche. We'd never do something like that.
Oh, man.
But now we're back in the same time zone.
Yes.
We're back in action, I guess. I don't know. It's hard to know what kind of action we're back into because I'm in my year of rest. So, I'm choosing to be in no action this year.
I like it.
I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast, but
no,
I have deemed 2022 my year of rest.
Mm-hmm.
I was tired at the end of 2021, but also I got COVID at the end of 2021. Right. And collectively, those two things made me think that I needed a year of rest of some sort. And so we are.
I don't trust that you have the ability to do that, but I like your gumption.
I've been doing great while I've been on the East Coast. I was very rest forward on the East Coast. The West Coast, where everyone is supposed to be rest forward, I don't know how well it's going.
I was about
so far
to say, I'm like, I think you've got everything backwards.
It's not been going great.
No.
Largely because, as usual, I have car dramas, so that is my own problem of my own making. But but I'm hoping to get back into the rest swing of things soon.
Yeah, sure. We also, we wanted to do a podcast this week. We feel like we had a guest last week who was great.
Right.
But, you know, and we're going to have a great guest this coming week as well.
That's right.
But, you know, we've got some things
we needed to
say.
Get back to basics.
Right, back to basics. And basics to us, when we say basics, we mean really basic because we took no notes for this podcast.
Basics to us is calling out Joe Biden, which is the thing we felt called to do this week.
Right. Yeah.
For a number of reasons. The first of which is the only reason, which is that he's failing at everything. And that is that contains multitudes.
It does.
Listen, we aren't getting voting rights. We don't have a private sector vaccine mandate. We don't have approval ratings that would justify any of the actions that you might try to take as president. We have nothing. We have our student debt still, so that's gone nowhere. We have outrageous medical bills that have not been resolved.
Uh-huh.
We don't have a child tax credit anymore.
Nope.
And we still don't have $2,000. We have $1,400 that we spent months ago. So,
plus a previous $600, air quotes, down payment. Remember
that's right.
That? Remember the down payment?
The down payment came from Donald Trump, though, you might also remember.
But even still.
Like, here's the thing. Joe, and Brent has said this so many times on the podcast before. Joe Biden sold us the idea of his effectiveness because he said he could work with people across the aisle. He said that he knew how the Senate worked. And who is it that is holding us up right now? It is not the Republican Party. They are just doing what they do. It is still Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema.
I guess he didn't promise us that he could work on his own side of the aisle.
Too true.
Maybe we thought that was a given, but maybe we were wrong.
No.
You know,
maybe
Paul
he can
Begala
only
would,
work with Republicans.
Paul Begala would say that we are wrong.
Well, Paul Begala would never say that he was wrong or that anyone in his wing of the Democratic Party is wrong. So, of course, it has to be us. Remember when also young voters were what was it wrong with the Democratic Party? We've heard him deliver impassioned speeches about that multiple times. So he's just, you know, he's out there telling us what's what so that he doesn't have to tell himself what's what. But
that's
Joe Manchin today basically came out and was like, primary me if you want, but I'm not, quote unquote, going nuclear to support changing the filibuster, a thing that Republicans do whenever it suits them, to address voting rights, which is like the basic building block of democracy.
Right. Also, his own bill, lest we forget.
Right.
Well, I feel like that is lost often in the news here. This is the Joe Manchin voting rights bill. And
I mean,
we don't even particularly care for it.
Build Back Better was, we were down to his proposal, and then he rejected his own proposal. That's what it came down to. Joe Manchin is having none of himself this year. 2022 is the year that Joe Manchin decided that he was not worth shit.
So, right.
He will take no such step in his political career to support his own legislation.
Ugh,
if that's God. What it comes down to.
Just the fucking worst. I mean, and cinema also. I mean, who last week gave a speech on the Senate floor before Joe Biden even got there to talk to them about, like, he was going to talk to the Democratic senators last week. And before he arrived, she'd already given a speech on the Senate floor that she was not going to blow up the filibuster rules, which was like...
It's so confusing to me because, again, I feel like another thing that gets lost in the filibuster conversation that I want to remind everyone of is that this is like a prison of our own making. Like, the filibuster is just a made up thing that the Senate decided to do. It has no, it's not like in the Constitution that they have to allow the filibuster and that everyone needs 60 votes to pass a bill. That's just made up nonsense. If the Democrats right now could decide that they wanted to do filibuster reform for literally any reason on any kind of bill or all of the bills, they could just do it.
Well, they just recently have. They changed the rules to be able to pass the debt ceiling.
Like, you can do that anytime you want. So when they act like this is an obstacle that they are somehow not empowered to resolve, an important thing to keep in mind is that they're the only people empowered to resolve it. We actually can't even vote out the filibuster because they made it up. It's not like it's not like the American people went to the polls to vote to make sure the Senate wasn't Democratic.
Yeah.
Like, this is literally just them in, like, a club filled with foggy old people who, like, have decided that they cannot take action to save themselves from themselves of their own accord. None of this has anything to do with anyone in America except for 100 people in the Senate. And that's Joe Biden, a person who was famously... supposed to be able to work with the Senate because of his great relationships in the Senate, considering he's been in the Senate since I was born, that, you know.
Long before that.
Like, it seems like that was what he was selling us there. And yet, here we are.
Yeah.
So, look, they had a rough week this week. It's their 52nd rough week. So they are practiced at that.
They're practiced, yeah. They're gonna have, they're gonna do some sort of commemoration or some kind of press conference or something. It sounds like he's actually going to take questions tomorrow to, you know, because it's a year since they've taken office. And, you know, shit's not great out there, guys.
What a way to mark your first year in office. It's just like the worst coronavirus has ever been in the 100 years that we've been living with it at this point. Like, somehow, like, nobody has any money, even though there's jobs aplenty, because you took away all the tax credits that were keeping care workers afloat. Children are marching out of or walking out of school all over the country because we basically have let schools turn into like a cesspool of infectious disease and then said there was nothing we could do about it, even though last year we seemed empowered to protect them from coronavirus by not making them show up in schools that had not been adequately precautioned. Yep. That's not a verb, but it became one just now. But like that, like, things could not feel more off the rails in this moment. And this last holiday season was, I think, exceptionally disappointing because people expected with vaccines and boosters that it would feel a little more normal. And instead, like, many of us, myself included, like, last minute didn't even get to celebrate the holiday with much of our families because we all got coronavirus at once. Like, I finally had Christmas dinner on January 1st this year.
Well, that's like a double holiday there, I guess.
Yeah, finally made it.
Yeah, remember in July 4th, we had the independence from COVID.
That's right.
Big spectacular. No.
I now have reframed that. Joe Biden did declare his own independence from COVID at that time.
He did.
And has
told us to take our masks off.
Like, he has nothing to do with it. So.
Yeah, that's right.
This
he started his
no
federal response back in July.
Yeah, back when we ended COVID, when he ended his personal responsibility for COVID, which unfortunately did not end our ability to get COVID and then also die of COVID. Mm-hmm. He's facing pretty low approval ratings, potentially because of all of this.
There was a Quinnipiac poll that this is how bad his approval ratings are. The White House last week released a statement, the White House, to talk about how his poll numbers weren't actually as bad as all of the polls say. Because
not
specifically,
to say that they were
a
good.
Lot of people, right? Not to say that they were good, but there was a one specific poll last week that they thought specifically they needed to remind people was an outlier. Because it was the Quinnipiac one, and it was at 33%. And it has always been the lowest one. So it's not even really that it's an outlier, because I think there is still learning from that, even though it's way lower than the others. But, 2 months ago, it was at 38%. So, regardless of whether somehow they are just getting much lower results than other polls that are, polling the same thing, it still went down 5 points.
Yeah.
So they're getting similar results to everywhere else, even though they're just generally lower. But, the fact that the White House was like, we need to get ahead of this, is crazy.
Also,
that's like a very Donald Trump thing to do, by the way, also.
Well, I was going to say, that's not the only moment that would have belonged on Veep that they had this week as well.
Yeah.
Because Kamala Harris thought, let's really knock this bad week out of the park. Let's get in there. She was on NBC. And Craig Melvin asked her whether it was time potentially to change the administration's COVID strategy, because as you may know from living in society, everything is wild and out of control. Everyone is angry about everything. Everyone who is or is not angry has COVID. Even if you're not angry, you probably have COVID. you'll notice Brent and I are currently recording from the same city from two different homes. That's because every person in Los Angeles has COVID. COVID is everywhere, and they are doing nothing to stop it except getting laughed. Well, they're laughing at the American people for suggesting that they should get tests, but then today you could just order 4 of them online. If you need 5, there's no word on how the federal government can help you with that.
Yeah.
If you have 3 children, you're sort of out of luck. But if you have 0 to 2 children and 0 to 1 spouses, you could each take 1 rapid COVID test on the federal government's dime. In any case, so she's asked this, and her answer was 3 sentences worth of the answer, I have nothing to add. it was in a spectacular fashion. I'm just going to read it. Everyone, there's no way I could do justice to how silly this was. It's time for us to do what we have been doing. And that time is every day. Every day, it is time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us to slow this thing down. can you picture this is a Veep scene. Selena Meyer is giving a speech.
Oh, she's given that answer.
Someone is
before.
Waving at her in the background to not say the thing. This is the pilot of Veep. This happens where someone is waving at her to not support plastics because petroleum is in the room or something like that. And so she starts saying something and then has to reverse course in the middle of her sentence. That is what Kamala Harris just offered us on NBC this week.
She is so bad lately in interviews. I do feel partly bad for her, only in the sense that I think that part of what is causing this, because she is not, while I don't particularly care for her, I don't think that she has been historically this bad.
No, she's not this bad. We elected her to the Senate. We've heard her speak before.
And I think it's in part because she is probably feeling look, she's no progressive hero, but I also feel to a degree, she feels she probably is being asked to do things that she isn't super comfortable with. And I think that's causing her to just not always know what to say, because she has done this in a few major interviews over the last year. And I have a hard time believing that it's just because she went stupid overnight.
I was going to say, she's a person that we have proven knows how to deliver remarks and sentences that make sense.
Yeah, right?
The times that she has done this in the past are on issues we know for sure she doesn't understand. She did this with healthcare in the debates.
Yes.
And that was because she actually didn't understand the issue. It was clear she didn't understand the issue. And so she was basically trying to give 2 answers at once. And that's what's happening here. It's not that she doesn't understand this issue. It's that they've told her say nothing. Clearly.
Yes. Did you know? Have you seen this story? Let me see if I can find it. We're just doing our own thing. I'm just going to use Google right now. Yeah.
Our listeners know we have the internet. It's not.
Well, right. That's right. Maybe I'll solve all of the world's problems, since that's what Joe Biden would like us to do, to sort of, you know, anything. Google's the magic solution to everything.
That's right.
Where she said something to the effect of, there's some new book out right now, I think, about the campaign. And like, she did not know. She felt like she needed to be the original co-sponsor of that Medicare for All bill, but literally had no idea what it was. And before, like, kept calling it Medicaid for All. Like, to the point where, like, people were worried that she was going to, like, do it
in public
and not realize that she had messed it up. Let me find out. Hold on just a second.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that she is somebody who, when she's put in a situation where she is essentially trying to say nothing, she's not very good at the political, glad-handy, nonsense speechering.
Yeah.
She's fine if she has a point to make. She's, like, obviously an intelligent person. You know, like, but she is historically flubbed exactly these kinds of moments in her own campaign. And it's not, you know, it's something that she did rarely and around issues that she, that we like knew she didn't understand. And it's sort of like she's being sent out and being told two contradictory things as she walks out the door by the administration, and then being told, you're going to cover for us here. And so it's like, tell them that we're doing something without promising we're going to do something is essentially the mission that she was on in this interview.
Right.
And this is what results if you ask Kamala Harris to say something but also not say it at the same time, is she doesn't, she's a politician, so she keeps talking. She got three sentences out, and those three sentences effectively communicated the point, which was that she had nothing to say. But it just, like, she was just like, I gotta fill the space. I gotta fill time.
Yeah.
And she came up with that, and that time is every day, as she says.
So good. Oh man, it's good. Yikes. Well, but this is not helping. Google didn't help me. It didn't help me find COVID tests, and it
let's
didn't
call
help
Joe.
Me find,
like the time I tried to call him because Amtrak wasn't helping me. But in any case, all of this chaos is breeding a lot of 2024 speculation that I want nothing to do with. You guys, Tom Friedman wrote an op-ed in the New York Times.
I want to do with some of it. I want to do with the portion that is trying to draft Marianne Williamson to run in 2024.
First of all, I still need you to listen to the maintenance face about Marianne Williamson.
Well, I'm not going to.
It just, Marianne Williamson is a cult leader, essentially, and I can't live with that in my life.
But it's a cult of love, Lila.
It's a cult of a weird book written by, like, a would-be Christian but also Jewish psychiatrist who was having a, like, nervous breakdown, and then Marianne Williamson, like, turned it into a cult, but then she got booted from her own cult because she was mean to everyone. She's a mean boss. That's the most famous thing about Marianne Williamson, and she's a mean boss. And there are enough mean bosses out there. In the year of rest, I have been thinking a lot about bosses.
Well, I mean, hello.
And there's too many of them out there. And we don't need Marianne Williamson, famously mean boss, who got sued by her own employees, I believe, for being a mean boss, to be out there being America's mean boss. In any case, Tom Friedman wrote an op-ed in the New York Times that really is what got me. Listen, we've been talking about these Hillary think pieces for a while. Obviously, Hillary Clinton has some PR employed. She's paying them to lay out speculation that maybe she's the only person that can save us in 2024.
She's the one of these articles talked about how she could be the change candidate.
I know. Another one said she's the only one who can win, as if we haven't. She's literally the only person proven to lose to Donald Trump. No one else on earth has, besides a bunch of Republicans, has ever proven that they will definitely lose to Donald Trump when given the opportunity. Hillary Clinton is literally the only Democratic candidate who we have full proof, mathematical proof, cannot beat Donald Trump. And they're just like, she's the change candidate who can win. Like, what's going on? In any case, I know what's going on. She's paying a PR person to do this. This is just this is exactly what happened in 2013. Do you remember when we wrote that blog post about how she should not run for president back in 2013? The thing that prompted us to write it was a flurry of these think pieces about how she was the only candidate who could win. And like in 2013, we know that she's the one candidate we know can't win, but we were prompted to write our own takedown of Hillary Clinton's candidatal promise. I don't know what the right word is there. But we wrote that because of a flurry of these exact same think pieces. The strategy is identical.
Yeah.
And we fell for it that time. Why?
We didn't.
In any case, Well, no, we didn't. America fell for it. The Democrats America are happy to fall for any bad idea. But so in any case, so that's the backdrop. But the foredrop, I'm just speaking my own language today. The foredrop is that Tom Friedman wrote an op-ed suggesting a Biden-Cheney ticket. So or I good. Believe he also suggested like a Harris-Murkowski ticket, as if that has any appeal to even one single person. I can't imagine no. the demographic for that ticket. But literally, and we talked about this last week. Listen, you can feel fine that the Cheneys don't seem to want to fully dismantle democracy like with their own hands. You cannot pretend that they are not a part of, that they have not helped create a legacy of not having democracy in the first place, though. Like, the Cheneys, just because they admit that January 6th was bad, are not here to save us. The Cheneys have never been here to save us. They've never no. saved anyone. They no. have saved George W. Bush from being the loser of a presidential race at a time. Yep. They have saved themselves from hating gays once they were gays. But that was pure yep. self-interest in their case. Yep. And it, like, that. Let's not get so swept up in the Hillary Clinton, Paul Begala notion that the Democrats are swerving too far to the left, as if we have Ugh. Any proof that that is happening anywhere.
I know.
And allow ourselves to think that the real way out of this is to get a Republican on the ticket with Joe Biden. Now, would he be comfortable with a Liz Cheney totally. Candidate? Of course. And she would not have fucked up that NBC News question the way that Kamala Harris did, because she doesn't think that anyone should do anything about COVID, probably.
Probably
so
not.
That would not have been a difficult question for her to answer.
Yeah.
But the reason is because she lacks the kind of moral compass that you hope for when you're looking for a candidate for any kind of, elected office, and certainly yeah. for the vice presidency.
Well, and I think, part of why certainly Hillary Clinton probably is pushing some of these things herself. The Biden-Cheney nonsense, who knows where that's coming from. But like, what I do want to remind people is that if you're wondering why all of this 2024 talk is happening right now, it's because we are just finished year one of what I would contend is a failed administration. And sure, there are 3 years left of it, and maybe something could be done, but I don't think that it will be. And I truly believe that this, we're done here with this. What we've done so far is what we will do. That's it.
We came in swinging.
Am I Kamala Harris now? I don't know. But if Joe Biden was not a complete wash at this point of a president, we would not be caring about what was yeah. going on in 2024.
And also, would not be talking about it because he would be the candidate without question.
Well,
and we wouldn't
I mean.
Even be having a conversation.
Yeah. And I honestly, what I think is going to be interesting to see, probably more so than whether people think Hillary Clinton needs to run or not, but like, I honestly think that you're going to sort of like see what's essentially a rehash of the 2020 primary, because I actually don't think that Biden will run again. I think he has talked about, I know people say if Trump runs, then he will. But like, this is a man who truthfully barely beat Trump. And part of the reason that I think that he ended up beating Trump was because he was given the gift of Trump fucking up COVID, which he can now yeah. no longer say he did better.
Right.
On. I mean, he just can't. Sorry. I mean,
maybe
you might
we'll
be mad,
feel differently
you might be mad
when
at
we
me
have,
for saying that, but like, in a.
When we all have four tests in our hands, we might feel different.
Yeah. And so then I think you see, then I think you probably just have an active primary. I can't imagine that like Biden declaring that he's not going to run anymore leaves a cleared field for Vice President Kamala Harris right now. That's not going to happen. So then you're going to see Pete Buttigieg decide that he's going to run again. You're going to see Amy Klobuchar run again. You're going to see Cory Booker run again. You're going to see, it's literally going to be the hacks from 2020 all competing for that again.
Have Pete Buttigieg run for president again in my lifetime.
Gird your loins.
If there is one thing that I can't allow out of this failure of a situation, it is having to listen to one single speech being given by one Peter Buttigieg in any city that I am in, at any moment that I'm living, ever again for the rest of my life. I say that as somebody who has been to multiple Pete Buttigieg rallies. Not as an act of support, but as an act of accidental being in a place at a time. But I feel like a lot of this was like part of the pitch to him, part of the kind of like conversation with him was about setting him up for this moment. Like, he in particular is someone I worry about because he is about as content free as it gets, but also it's clear that some sort of arrangement was made in order to get him to step out of the race that included him getting, obviously, a secretary post he's not qualified for, or cabinet post he's not qualified for, but also helping set him up on his future path. I think Joe Biden saw a lot of himself in Pete Buttigieg, which is a real shame for all parties. But I just, like, I can't have him be in my life in a meaningful way. And whatever terrible candidate they come up with, I need us all to agree that it can't be Pete. We're not with Mayor Pete.
I can't agree.
All of this has justified the panic attack I had when I had to cast my vote for Joe Biden. As you know, I have a history of doing unpredictable things on Election Day, and I did vote for Joe Biden, and I had a literal panic attack when I voted, like when I voted for him, and I refused to talk to anyone for the rest of the day, and I like had like actual physical symptoms of panic over it. And now
I feel partially responsible for that. Not that you would ever vote for someone just because I told you to, but I know that I attempted to talk you into that. That's the in the last two presidential elections, I have voted for Jill Stein and Joe Biden, and I only regret one of those.
It
might not be the one that you think.
It is a wild life that we're living out here.
But honestly, there is part of me that feels like having an open primary is good. Because I think that you will probably see someone from the left.
Oh, and I love a primary.
I love a primary, but they will, I fear, get, you know, squashed in the same way that anybody from the left gets squashed in a Democratic primary. But I do think that there is something to, you know, look, there's a lot of people out there who are talking about, like, you know, Movement for a People's Party has been talking about running a candidate. Andrew Yang has his own party right now. People are talking about running as an independent. Is Nina Turner going to run as something in 2024? I think that, like, all of those things become more likely once you get to the point where you're like, it's just Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump again, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, while I understand that some people are going to say, well, it's privileged of you to think that you can vote for a third party Nina Turner person when it's Donald Trump. I mean, I get that argument, but I also sort of feel like, well, what about your life got better in this last year?
I don't know that I could risk this again.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Here's one thing I'll say. I recognize that my level of daily panic is lower because Joe Biden is less entertaining than Donald Trump. And that has had benefits to me. I recognize that all of us getting to not live in like a full horror story every single day of just like 24 hours of news panic is a good thing. I'm suggesting that that's possible with almost anyone who's not Donald Trump.
Right, right.
And I would say his whole wing of the party is maybe off, you know. I don't think Josh Hawley necessarily gives us peace of mind. So no one here is suggesting that, you know, a Republican who's not Donald Trump is better than Joe Biden or anything like that. I mean, there's so many things that we get accused of when we say that. I just want to be clear.
Also,
I don't think things are working the way they told us they would work out.
No.
So why would we believe that this is the way it has to be?
I agree. Also, you'd probably have a $2,000 check if Josh Hawley was the president right now, just by the way.
Well, that's true.
I mean, your lives might be completely worse in other ways. But, like, that's the thing that scares me about him probably more than anyone else, is that, like, he's going to be the type of guy who is smart enough to discover that those checks were a good idea, that canceling student loan is a good idea.
Yeah.
And granted, those are going to be, you know, Trojan horses for all of the other awful things that he's going to do. But, like, we have ceded those issues to him now, right? You know, he now has a bill to ban insider stock trading amongst everybody in Congress right now, right? Like, that's a thing that Democrats should be doing that Nancy Pelosi has now famously said that she's not going to support because, like, they should all get to carry on being rich while they're in Congress, right? So, like,
remember when you learn in history class that it used to be that the Democrats were like the party of racist asshole nonsense people and the Republicans were like the reasonable moderate liberals, and then it switched? And I was always like, how did this happen? That's such a weird thing to have happened. And I now see what happens is you cede the issues that are supposed to be your bread and butter to the opposition who cynically uses them to their advantage. And one day someone uses them not cynically and everyone's lost.
Right, exactly. Like, I mean, we Democrats used to be the party of the working class, and we have like definitely seeded that. I mean, that is
exactly,
and that's been years in the making. And I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure a bunch of DNC hacks would tell me that they still are that party, but they are not.
They are people who have not met working class people recently.
Right, I was going to say, and that's how we ended up with President Donald Trump in the first place, for other reasons I understand. But
yes.
Anyway.
In any case.
You
guys. The only benefit of all of this speculation is that we're also getting speculation that Ron DeSantis is going to try to challenge Donald Trump for the Republican ticket, and that I'm fully here for.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, also, there's no more New York tacky Florida person and no more tacky Florida New York person that, like, the two of them are like a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
They're both complete idiots. One of them is too short to challenge Donald Trump, and that's Ron DeSantis. They both have ridiculous hair. And both of them are famous for spouting off on nonsense issues that they have pulled out of their ass that have nothing to do with anything in a way that is highly entertaining, but also very disastrous for, like, living things.
Right.
It's just...
Oh, it's, man.
It's like a monster. It's like Donald Trump could be taken down by a monster he created. Like, that's... going to be very poetic when it happens. It'll be terrible. Yeah. I'm not suggesting I want it to happen in the primary and then for us never to have to talk to either of them again, obviously. I think the benefit of Ron DeSantis out-trumping Donald Trump is that nobody likes Ron DeSantis, whereas Donald Trump has a kind of charisma that wouldn't say appeals to us, but certainly I think we can recognize appeals to people all over America for unfortunate reasons. I don't think that Ron DeSantis... It's like when Bloomberg thought he could be the president, and I was like, no... Like, you don't have any charisma that anyone else... I can't even believe New Yorkers took you seriously. But, like, I think we know that Donald Trump does have this kind of, like, magnetism. And I know Ron DeSantis doesn't have it. So I'm excited to see if he can even pull this off. But that's going to be quite an adventure.
Yeah.
And then in New York itself, where the non-Florida New Yorkers are... Shit's wild anyway, because the mayor's from New Jersey. He's not even good at the nepotism he's tried to do. He's already had to demote his brother, the parking manager of a parking lot in Virginia, who once was a cop and then was going to be the deputy commissioner of the NYPD. And then suddenly everyone was like, is he qualified for this? And it turned out no. And so Eric Adams was like, never mind. He's just in charge of, like, my security. And also somebody else announced that he was going to get the job that Bernard, Eric's brother, was going to get, like, in the Daily News in an op-ed, like, at the same time that they announced Bernard. Like, the whole thing is so wacky. he's been demoted from a $240,000 a year job to a $210,000 a year job. So don't worry. Nepotism is still being taken care of. His title is the executive director of mayoral security, but no one knows if that has ever existed before. They might have just made up that title. And no one explained what the position is. So that's a mess. People are mad at Eric Adams already for numerous reasons. And I think did we mention the Bronx fire last week? I think that we did.
I don't know if we did.
But I think we did. There was a huge fire in the Bronx. It killed like 19 people. It was a huge catastrophe.
Awful.
I only want to mention it because, as Brent wrote in the notes, tenant protections expired in New York, like, as this was happening, basically. And we found out that the fire started because a space heater caught fire. And why did people need a space heater in a building that was supposed to have heat? Because the heat wasn't working correctly. And why did it spread so quickly? Because the fire doors weren't working correctly. And it turns out that landlords are monsters.
Yeah.
And that is really the point.
Well, it is the point.
So in any case, and then beyond that, the only actual news of the week that where a thing happened instead of a thing not happening, because all the political news was just things not happening, is that hostage situation in that Texas synagogue.
Oh my gosh.
That's just a really confounding story.
It sounds like a confounding story. I will admit to not really following it. This was something I think that was happening on Sunday or Monday. I can't remember, but I was sitting... just watching TV, and I think Kat actually texted us and was like, are you guys following this hostage thing? And I wasn't. So then I sort of like looked it up vaguely, and I had been sitting on the couch next to Jeremy, my boyfriend, for hours just watching TV. And I was like, have you heard about this hostage thing? And he was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, what? Can you help a brother out? Like, you're right there. You're sitting right next to me. I'm recording a podcast. Like, yeah. Can you tell me when a news thing happens? No.
No.
We can't.
No.
At that point, I just felt like I was too far gone.
I was mostly interested because it was the first I had heard of there being a Reform synagogue in that very wacky part of Texas. So I was like, how did they find a Reform synagogue to do this act of terrorism? And that's wild. And also, if you want to get something from the federal government in that part of Texas, I don't think taking Jews hostage is necessarily your best bet. I don't think in that part of Texas that's necessarily the high-value targets that you're looking for. So it was just like a confusing message, too, because I was like, what did this random Reform synagogue have to do with any of this? And also, who in this part of Texas is going to be like, we should pull out all the stops to save these people? This is one of the most racist and problematic parts of Texas. They have a long history of very problematic Trump activities and hate crimes in that district. And so I was just like, this is so confounding on so many levels. Wild. In any case. Also, I don't know that we mentioned that Harry Reid died, but he did, so he's dead. Shit. I feel a little bad about it. I'll tell you why.
No, I know.
Not that I was some great Harry Reid fan, but Harry Reid is somebody, and you heard this a lot after, you know, and people talking about him after his death. He was somebody who very clearly, like, wanted to nurture the next generation of talent, political talent. So he was somebody that went out of his way to reach out to people, even people like AOC. In order to kind of, you know, help guide them, you know, through the beginning of their political career. And I think he was somebody who I think probably, first of all, he's the last Senate majority leader that the Democrats had who wasn't just like a wimpy wimp. I mean, I didn't always agree with him and he wasn't always effective, but Harry Reid, much like Nancy Pelosi, was someone who like could get things done when necessary.
Yeah.
And while we've said that about Nancy Pelosi before, I don't necessarily agree with her a lot of the time. I don't necessarily know that she uses her powers for good all the time, but if something has to happen in the House, Nancy Pelosi can threaten your grandchildren to make that happen. And like Harry Reid kind of had that ability when things really needed to get done, Harry yeah. Reid could get something done. And we don't currently have that in the Senate. So I was reminded of that and I was a little sad about that. But I'm also just so curious what's going to happen to the Nevada Democratic Party.
I know. Well, people were talking about how we should, to honor Harry Reid, we should get rid of the filibuster. And we should get rid of the filibuster to honor any America. Thinking person. But so yes, sure, do it if that's your reason. But I was always like, the other way that we could honor Harry Reid is to let Nevada go earlier in the primary process.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I feel like that was the other thing that he really wanted to do. And I feel like of the early states that we are currently being offered as choices, I feel like
that's
our best option.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah.
So we could do that too.
We've solved commemorating Harry Reid.
We have.
And that's what you came here for probably. So we did it. We will be back on Sunday, back to our regularly scheduled programming. So we'll have a new episode up on Monday. And then, you know, then we have a few guests lined up in the next couple months and hopefully we'll have more.
Yeah. We have Gabby Goldstein this week, right? Can you say that?
That's right. Yeah.
We can.
Yeah. No, I think maybe promoting our guests is a good idea. Yeah. And then, you know, hopefully also we have designs on getting, Kat Calvin and Grant Sloss back on the podcast. So if you're listening, you have been warned. And that's the news this week. This Tuesday.
Yeah.
We hope you had a nice MLK weekend and that you pondered justice or something during it, or, you know, whatever is appropriate to do.
Yeah.
We hope you didn't just get drunk and then punch somebody, because that would not be in the spirit of MLK.
I agree.
Unless you punched a Nazi, maybe then. I don't know. But we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.